The shadows of darkness creep increasingly across our early mornings and our evenings as we draw closer to next weekend when daylight saving will end and the clock will go back an hour. The shadows of darkness creep across our lives as well through pain and suffering. But today, this Good Friday, we are reminded afresh of how Jesus experienced the shadows of pain and suffering to the fullest. In a way that led to total darkness. In a way that led to the clock not winding back an hour, but standing still for 3 hours as he hung on the cross. Matthew describes it like this: from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. Words like terrible and words like sad probably come to mind when you think of experiencing the shadows of darkness through pain and suffering. Yet what does the Bible say as Ian comes and shares some readings with us?
Good morning, everybody. The first reading this morning comes from Philippians 3 and verse 10, if you'd like to turn over to that. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And then if you'd like to turn over to Matthew 5 and verses 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord.
I want to share in his sufferings. Blessing coming through pain and suffering. How can this be? Surely the shadows of pain and suffering are a curse. Surely the shadows of pain and suffering are something to be avoided at all cost, and at the very least, unfortunate. Yet Jesus says, blessed are you when the shadows of pain and suffering come your way. How can blessing and suffering go together? What does Jesus' death at the cross, that first Good Friday, show us about how the shadows of darkness and the shadows and darkness of suffering can actually be a place of blessing? That's what we reflect on today. But as we come to that, let's reflect and respond in song. When we look at Jesus' life and Jesus' death, where is blessing not found? It was not found in being a people pleaser, for Jesus did not seek to please people. He sought to please his heavenly Father. He said himself in John chapter 6, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." That pathway did not make Jesus popular. It led to Jesus being crucified on a cross. Following Jesus, as we're called to do thousands of years later, is not a bed of roses. Following Jesus will be a pathway that is full of challenges, as Jesus made clear in those verses that Ian read from Matthew. Because we are called not to try to win the approval of others, not to please people, but above all, to please God. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." Blessing is not found in being a people pleaser. Blessing is not found in seeking to be problem-free or pain-free either. That certainly wasn't Jesus' experience, and it won't be ours. Jesus was not problem-free. Jesus was not pain-free. He was sin-free. He was perfect in every way. And yet he experienced pain, and he experienced problems as a part of living life as one of us. God, take this pain away. God, take this problem away from me, is often our cry. It was even Jesus's as he faced the cross.
Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Jesus says, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." But so was his cry, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." We'll reflect further on where blessing is found, even in the place of suffering, in a moment. But let's respond and reflect again in the song, in our voices, as Paul and the team lead us again in the responding in song. "Yet not as I will, but as you will," were Jesus' words as he faced the pain and suffering of the cross. Blessing is found whenever we fulfill God's purposes. And that's exactly what Jesus did at the cross. Jesus fulfilled God's purpose of bringing salvation to you and I. Jesus did not escape suffering and pain, but Jesus embraced it and he endured it so as to fulfill God's higher purpose of being our Saviour. God actually accomplishes his purposes, not outside of, but in the midst of trials and suffering. That was true in Jesus' life, and it's even true in ours as well. When we read these words in James, James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." What is God's ultimate purpose for any of our lives? It's not our comfort. It's not what we choose. It's our character development, to become more and more the complete person that God has for us to be, as those words in James say. Our trials and sufferings are not random events. They weren't for Jesus, but they have a purpose. A bigger picture purpose, to fulfill the work of God in and through us. And in Romans chapter 8, we are reminded of that when it says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." In all things, not in some things, in all things, God works for good, even if it might not seem like it at the time. God has our good in mind, and where that's the case, blessing is found. Our Good Friday Easter offering that we're going to collect now is all about fulfilling God's purposes for people too. It goes towards the work of Australian Baptists in sharing the message of Jesus' life, death and resurrection with people in real, in relevant and in respectful ways. So how about I pray, and then you'll have the opportunity to play your part in that through giving, as well, of course, through our ongoing living. Let's pray. Lord God, we're reminded afresh today that the message of Jesus is that he came to restore what is not whole. He came to restore what is not whole in our lives. He came to restore what is not whole in this world. He came to restore what is not whole in the lives of others close to us and others further afield around this world. We pray now for those particularly who suffer in our world. We recognise that suffering and pain is an awful thing, not an easy thing. And God, for those who in our world experience the reality of that firsthand day after day, we pray especially for them. We pray for nations in conflict. We pray for people who suffer terrible trauma and suffering. God, we pray for people similarly in our nation and our community for whom that might be the case, for the lonely, for the vulnerable, for the needy. We pray for those even amongst us this morning, for whom pain and suffering is very real, even today perhaps. Thank you, God, that you are someone that shines your light into the midst
of the darkness of pain and suffering. And as we have the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others, we recognise that there are many things that you have blessed us with, many gifts. The gift of money is one way that we can make a difference to the lives of others, but the gift of our time and the gift of attentiveness to needs and to people around us is important too. The gift of action rather than apathy and inaction. The gift of using our talents. God, thank you that you call us to participate in your redeeming and restoring work. And we pray that this offering this morning would be a part of what you want to do in that regard. So bless it and use it to make a difference in the lives of people, we pray. In your name I ask. Amen. There is much about suffering that is hard to understand. There is much about suffering that seems unfair. But one thing we do know is this: God is present in the midst of suffering. And whenever we experience the presence of God, no matter what we might face, we are blessed. Because God did not just look on or turn a blind eye as people experienced the pain and suffering of life, but God got involved. His Son Jesus came to earth to live as one of us and to experience what life was like. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He took our burdens upon himself. He experienced the full weight of suffering and pain at the cross to give us hope and to make possible a life one day without suffering and pain in the full presence of God. And as awful as the physical suffering was for Jesus as he hung on the cross, what was the worst suffering of all? It was that relational suffering, that terrible moment when he felt forsaken by his heavenly Father. That darkest of all darkest of darkest moments, when the presence of God was not there, as he bore the weight of our sin and shame. He had the closest possible relationship between God the Son and God the Father, and yet for that awful moment, Matthew 27 verse 46, about 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Suffering is hard enough to face, but to face it feeling a sense of being on your own or feeling forsaken is terrible. The blessing that can be found even in the midst of our darkest hours is the blessing of knowing the presence of God in deeper ways. Knowing the presence of God who is with us, who is for us, whose presence is not found outside of or removed from suffering, but whose presence is found within and in the midst of suffering. Just as stars shine brightest against a backdrop of darkness, stars shine brightest against the blackest and darkest night, the goodness and the grace and the compassion and the care of God shines brightest against a backdrop of the darkness of pain and suffering. That's shown at the cross, and it's shown in the midst of life as well. As we reflect further on that, let's sing again as we continue to allow God to speak into our own lives and hearts afresh as to how blessing and suffering can even be held together as Jesus shows us at the cross. Stirring words, stirring song. The cross reminds us that blessing and suffering can be held together as the purposes of God are fulfilled, as the presence of God is experienced, but also as God's bigger picture is focused on. Running has been a part of my life for many years. When I'm running and when I'm in the midst of a longer run, when it's not easy going and I feel like giving up, what keeps me going? What keeps me going when the going is tough and hard? Focusing
on the finishing line, focusing on the bigger picture of what's coming at the end. That makes it all worth it. Jesus endured the suffering and the pain of the cross, knowing that that was not all there was, but that blessing and glory would come beyond it that would make it all worth it. The darkness of suffering and pain may creep across or even cloud our lives in the here and now. But in the midst of that, we need to be reminded that that's not all there is. There is a bigger picture that makes it all worth it, an eternal picture. The blessing of a glorious future beyond this life for followers of Jesus that makes it all worth it. The cross paves the way for that. The cross points us to that bigger picture. God's love for us in and through Jesus is far greater than any darkness, than any pain, than any loss we might experience in this life. And because of that, because of God's great love for us, and because of knowing that God's love is greater than anything that we can experience in this life, we are blessed. Let's be reminded of that in the multimedia clip we will now watch, and that will be followed by some verses that Ian will read that will lead us into a time of communion, the way that we in a tangible way remember Jesus' death on the cross. And we will close our service with that time of communion. And as you leave the Good Friday service today, you'll also receive at the door a little gift booklet entitled "He Died for You, The Significance of Easter," to take away so that you can reflect further on and respond to the Easter story. Thanks, David.
Our next reading comes from Romans 5 and verse 8. "But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And then Hebrews 12 and verses 1 to 3. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart."
So we come now and fix our eyes afresh on Jesus, as this entire Good Friday service has sought to do, but that culminates in the time of communion, when we remember, as Ian has just read to us, that he is the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, that he endured the cross for us, that he scorned its shame, and that as a result of what he's done for us, we are to consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. God loved us so much. He demonstrated his love for us that even though we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. I didn't deserve it. None of us deserve it. Let's take a moment just in our own, in the stillness of these moments, to fix our eyes afresh on Jesus. To consider him. Will you do that with me as we come to share in communion? God, we thank you for this day. This day, the darkest and blackest day that history has ever known. In the midst of the whole span of human history and the pain and suffering that has been a part of that for people, no greater pain or suffering, no greater an injustice than what you experienced that day as the perfect Son of God, as you hung on the cross and took our sins upon yourself. Oh God, as we leave this place, May we go with a sense that we too can, even in the midst of life and the darkness and pain of suffering that can come in life, to experience your presence, know that you are in the midst of that with us, to experience a sense of you fulfilling your purposes in our lives, to focus on your bigger picture, to focus on your bigger eternal picture. God, may we not only have lifted our eyes afresh to you in this time we've shared together, but may we go with a sense of being able to do that into the rest of this day, into all of our days ahead. So we go with your blessing, to experience your blessing upon our lives, no matter what each day brings, in and through the wonderful power and the wonderful promise of Jesus as our Saviour. In his name we pray.